Sharon's getting paranoid, Victoria's about to turn herself in, and Nikki and Victor share a kind of weird, touching moment that seems like they might be getting back together. Stay tuned for that and more on this week's Restless Wrap.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. I'm Rachel Goodman, back with another week of Restless Wrap. If you haven't done so already, you can go to our Facebook Restless Wrap page. I always post the link to the show. It's at Restless Wrap. And also, we always have people on there commenting. So if you want to go over there, comment, I will always read your comments live on the air. I want to give a shout out to everyone who's joined us in the live chat. We have Aaron Brody, Hubby Joe, Clex Ambers, a.k.a. Tiffany, Maxwell Comics, and I think, let's see, anyone else? Oh, Detillion Cole. I think that's pretty much everyone in the chat tonight. We did move it a couple hours later, so thank you all for being here, even though it's different time for today. I just want to give a couple shout-outs to some of the comments we've received already. Clex Ambers says... she's talking about last week's Emmys, YNR faces on their win from last week. So Eileen Davidson won for Outstanding Lead, and Cameron also won for Supporting Actress. So we have a lot of people saying congratulations. Congratulations, Cameron. Congratulations, Eileen. Aaron Brody, congratulations, Eileen. She did a great job as Ashley and Susan on Days of Our Lives. Clex Anver, honestly, I'm kind of ready for the JT story to be over. Like, the abuse story was interesting and important, and now with the cover-up and lousy hiding of things, I haven't been watching long. I haven't been watching long, period. So, oh, we have Simone who just joined the chat. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. I want to open up this week by saying that we are going to take live calls tonight. So if you're watching right now, May 6th, it is 7:16 Pacific Standard Time. The number you can dial is 424-253-0749. So if you have any thoughts on this week's YNR, feel free to give us a call in and we can discuss. So, let's just start and kind of go through the episodes. We kind of started with Nick, Sharon, and Mariah, and we were following them. Basically, Nick was starting to sense that Nick and Mariah were starting to sense that something kind of odd was happening with Sharon, just the way how weird she was acting. It's just kind of getting to the point where Sharon, we know that last week she had that weird dream. She didn't really know, she couldn't really explain it to Nick, obviously. She didn't want to tell him that she was having these nightmares, that nightmare, and was acting, you know, startled all the time because of, not that Sharon killed JT, but because of being involved in this murder. Sharon just can't really get over it, and everything is, just everything, every little thing is getting to her and making her jump, and just she is feeling the guilt, and we really saw that this week. So if anyone in the chat wants to comment on Sharon right now, and also we can touch on the murder too and touch on how it's affecting everyone in the Dynamic Four, is what I'm calling them.
Real quick, we have our first caller.
Awesome. Thanks for calling Restless Wrap. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, Rachel, it's Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany. So I was just getting started talking about everything happening with Sharon, and I guess everything happening with Mariah, too, and what she remembered. So why don't we talk about that? What do you think is going to happen with Mariah, and how did you feel about everything going down with Sharon?
You know what? Honestly, The beginning of the week, I think, is whenever the whole thing came up about how Sharon's the weak link, and then there was Phyllis threatening to put her in a mental hospital if she spilled the beans, which I don't really feel that's going to help anyone. And then, you know, throughout the week, we saw that Sharon isn't necessarily the weak link, but I don't know if I believe that or not.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I didn't like how Nikki was reacting, basically saying that her two former daughter-in-laws were going to ruin everything. I kind of feel like Sharon, who didn't even kill JT, I feel so bad. Just because she happened to be there, she's now involved in this. I feel really bad for her. I feel like she didn't – it's not like Sharon even killed the guy. She just happened to be there when all of this was going down, and now they're getting mad at her. This whole thing is traumatizing. Even though Sharon wasn't the one in the relationship, it's still – traumatizing to have to deal with this hanging over their shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also the fact is that if he had come clean about everything in the beginning, I know Phyllis made that very accurate, you know, argument that these four women have never had a good relationship with the police, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think in the end, it's, you know, inevitably going to blow up in their faces. But I think at the end of all of it, and this might just be me, but I think the one who's really going to get the brunt of everything is Phyllis. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Phyllis is the only one that's really, you know, she's like, she's the match master of everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah. She's the one that
was scheming. The one, yeah, pulling the reins.
Yeah. She's the one in the beginning. I think Sharon was like, let's just call the cops. I think even Victoria said that in the very beginning. But now, because of Phyllis, who was basically pushing all this, like, Phyllis is the one saying, oh, it wouldn't be seen as self-defense. It would be seen as you killing him. They're not going to believe you, Victoria. And I think that that is kind of a, you know, bull to say because, yeah, they might have to investigate, but they it wouldn't have been, I mean, I know for the sake of the soap they did it this way, but here's the other thing is that we can get to this in a second about how they interrogated all the women, how Paul interrogated mm-hmm. them, but just this storyline, how do you feel in terms of how long they're dragging it out? Because it kind of seems
honestly,
to
me... Honestly, and normally I watch YNR alone, first of all, but the other day I was actually watching with my friend, and I turned to her and I'm like, I am so tired of the JT storyline, I just kind of wish it would all end.
Yeah.
Because I think Aaron and I, we actually realized in the chat, actually, that the storyline with JT as a whole, like from the abuse to the murder to covering it up and everything, tomorrow it'll be exactly 2 months that it's been going on.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Here's the thing. I love how they did everything with Victoria, and I love how they did. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the abuse storyline has been, to me, one of the most emotionally... one of the most emotionally honest storylines they've ever done. I loved it. I loved that they spent an entire episode when Victoria was coming clean and admitting everything that happened to her. I loved that moment. Now it's just starting to get stupid, and I feel like after such a touching and important and significant thing to happen, they're ruining that by carrying this on the way they are and turning it into this, oh, we killed a man. What are we going to do now? That wasn't the whole point. Like, I feel like they made a really good point by bringing emotional and physical abuse into the storyline, and now they're ruining it by turning mm-hmm. it into this, you know, scheme.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is I agree with everything you just said. Like, I mean, I know so many people who have watched YNR see this is one of the most, you know, impactful episodes or storylines. And I do love that they dedicated a lot of time and even an entire episode to the storyline. But there comes a point where you have to kind of, you know, say, enough is enough. He's dead. As far as we know, he's dead.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Exactly.
And not talk about it anymore. Because for one thing, I mean, you know, everyone's entitled to their faults, and I don't know, JT wasn't perfect, but in my mind at least, and this might be harsh, but he wasn't just a man. He was a coward who was physically and mentally abusing his fiance, ex, mother of his children, and he kind of deserved every bit he got. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to cry any tears over it.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is that what they could have done was they could spend, and I think they're kind of doing it a little bit with Victoria, they could spend more time going over the emotions and the trauma and, like, how Victoria deals with this, the aftermath of the abuse. They could turn that into a much deeper storyline than what they're doing with this covering mm-hmm. up a murder situation. So, yeah, I just kind of want it to be done with already. I was hoping Victoria would just turn herself in at the end.
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, somebody's bound to crack, because I think we all know Paul's not really going to do his job to the full effect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, perks to Paul. I mean, the one time nobody actually wants him to be, you know, tactful and in depth is the one time he is. So, you know, perks to Paul, I guess.
Yeah, the one time where he doesn't figure things, the one time where he kind of is starting to be suspicious and figuring things out is when we don't want him to. Of course.
Exactly, yep.
Speaking of which, what did you think of the interrogation scene? And what do you think's going to happen? Do you think that Paul's going to figure it out for once?
I still don't have high hopes for Paul. Yeah. In the time that I've been watching, he's never given me a reason to. That being said, I think he could. It's just a matter of who he's going to figure it out first. Is it going to be Nick or Victor or Paul?
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of them is bound to, and right now, Nick is the closest, right, because he was able to kind of loosen something in Mariah.
Yeah, so. And suddenly she knows there's a male voice that she heard that night, and that's the dangerous thing. I know Sharon didn't want to involve her, but I feel like here's the thing, is that I don't understand. Okay, in this murder happened in this family. What they could have done, what Nikki could have done, is told Victor. I know, like, in the chat before, people have said, no, she doesn't want to tell him for X and Y, Z reasons. But I feel like Nikki could have told Victor, and then Victor and Nick and everyone in the family could have known about this and kind of collectively figured out what they were going to do. But just, yeah, I feel like it was dumb on Nikki's part not to tell at least Victor. Because now Nick or Victor or you just one of them or Mariah, somehow it's going to come out what happened. And it's going to, because their stories aren't matching up with Paul, they could have, that's another thing, that whole cell phone story. They should have, like, I think Sharon said, oh, yeah, there was a phone call, but Victoria didn't answer. And do you remember how they were like, oh, the four women were like, oh, we could just chalk it up to the fact that we were drunk that night. Nikki was like, no, I don't drink. Well, then chalk it up to the fact that Sharon was drunk. It could have done it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't get is, like you said, with how Nikki didn't tell Nick or Victor or anyone. I mean, I don't know about you, but it kind of seems to me that if JT were alive and ever, you know, was gutsy enough to show his face again in Genoa City, I'm pretty sure Victor and Nick would be right there ready to kill him anyway, so.
Exactly.
I don't understand why they can't just, you know, tell them, because, I mean, this is Victor Newman. So.
Exactly. And he can, between him and Nikki, they would cover this up and it would be done with instead of this dragging on when they should really be focusing on how it's affecting Victoria. So they just, you know, kind of just walked on by that. And it's kind of, I don't know, just defeating the purpose. But not that there's ever a purpose for violence, but they could have at least shown how she deals with this instead of dealing with a murder. Mm-hmm. But thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so going along with that, let's check in with the chat really fast. Okay, we have Aaron Brody. Sharon is doing what she's supposed to do because she's a good person. Yeah, between the four of them, I really feel like Sharon, I mean, Victoria, I'm giving her a pass completely, because number one, she was offering to turn herself in. So that's the first thing. Number two, she just went through all this crap with JT. So she is not in the emotional state to be making the rash decisions, to be making the calmer decisions. Let's put it that way. And not only that, but yeah, okay, this guy abused her, but she didn't just lose someone that she was going through a breakup anyway, whether this happened or not. Then she lost the father to her child. She has to deal with everything with Reed. She has to deal with the abuse. I am not holding Victoria accountable for anything that happens in this group. But so Victoria aside, not that I don't agree with what she's been doing, I feel like Sharon is the sanest person in this situation. We have a couple people saying, well, Aaron Brody says Phyllis is a complete idiot. Detalian Cole says, I hate that they all listen to Phyllis. Hubby Joe, they're dragging the storyline out too long. They should have called the cops. It was self-defense. And if they had called the cops and said that and the cops wanted to investigate, it would have been more interesting to me if the cops were dealing with this and Paul was dealing with this and they were doing an ongoing investigation and trying to see who was really at fault. That, to me, would have been a more interesting storyline than what they're doing right now, where they're covering up this murder. And it's just so, like, the scenes that we've seen with Sharon and Phyllis and Nikki, where they're just hush-hush talking about this murder, it's just so melodramatic to me, and it isn't working. Let's hear what you guys think in the chat, but that's how I feel about it. Aaron Brody, JT tried to kill Victoria. It was self-defense. Miss Bubbles, well, soaps used to tell 13-week story arcs. This is nothing compared to old-school YNR, which moved to a snail pace. Simone, when JT is found, I feel this... will divide the town because people will not see self-defense but see the Newmans trying to get revenge and get away with it, which could definitely be the case. But personally, I think that would be a much more interesting storyline than what they're doing. Miss Bubbles, soap operas are year-round and you can't fast-track a story too fast. People are used to bringing shows and being done in one day. Soaps move at a different pace. I agree with that. I think that they do definitely move at a slower pace. They should drag the storyline out. I just feel like they could go in a different direction with dragging it out. Aaron Brody, I heard a rumor that Paul finds JT's dead body next week. That'll be interesting. And I know we were talking about this before. I know that we had rumors where we saw the hand coming out in the preview. And I guess it was just because, you know, we see a hand, we assume JT's alive. And it was just that dream that Sharon had, which was not this week anyway. But just, I guess he's not really coming back after all. Miss Bubbles, Nick should be a detective because he figured out Mariah was Cassie's twin, and Victor was helping Adam escape. Put Nick on the case. Yeah, Nick's always the one who seems to figure these things out. Simone, Mariah could still remember something about hearing JT coming to the house. Something small that they are overlooking is going to blow the whole thing. And here's the thing with Mariah. Right now, she only thinks she's heard a male voice. I have a feeling that as she starts to remember more, she's gonna actually, like, she actually came up to the door at one point. So I have a feeling when she actually remembers, she's gonna recognize JT's voice and she's gonna hear something, remember hearing something that's going to basically make her realize, oh yeah, that was JT, he was there. And then when Paul interviews her, that is, if he does, because she was there that night, I'm assuming he will. When Paul interviews her, it won't be. Everything is gonna, their cover is gonna get blown. Or Aaron Brody, I think Mariah will be the one to turn everyone in. Miss Bubbles, the killing someone by accident, keeping it a secret is a story as old as time on soaps. All that is missing is JT's return from the dead, then blackmail. Miss Bubbles, I don't know why Sharon is the one cracking her and Nikki cover up her killing Cameron in the early 2000s, which ended up being a scheme by her ex-friend Grace to frame her. Interesting, I didn't know that. Okay, so let's discuss this whole storyline a little bit more. But before we do that, I just want to make it a little bit of an announcement. There's a very exciting podcast for anyone who is, if you like this, for everyone out there, you obviously like YNR. This is a podcast with Maria Menounos. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos, and it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. Okay, so let's discuss this a little bit more with the Dynamic Four, as we're calling them, and just kind of get into everything happening with Paul interrogating them, because we have a couple of loose ends here. As we were saying earlier, Nikki calling Sharon the weak link, and Victoria, before she decides she's going to turn herself in, it kind of all starts with her. She's talking to Paul. She says, Paul says, seems that JT's leaving town made this easier for you too. Obviously, he's suspicious. Victoria says none of this is easy. And here's the question of the week when Paul asks, think hard, when you were hosting that party, did anyone else stop by? And Victoria keeps playing it off like, no, no one stopped by. It was just us. Now, here's the problem. Someone, I think it was Sharon, maybe it was Phyllis, someone said that Abby showed up after, obviously Abby didn't show up, because that could be another problem. Sharon mentioned the phone being on and ringing, which I think they could explain that away, but the problem is people saying Abby showed up just like that. Like, they didn't even see her, but they were saying she showed up. Now they're going to get Abby involved, and Abby's going to be like, no, I wasn't there at all. And that could be what ruins the whole thing. We have a couple of comments here. Hubby Joe, the funny thing is they figured out how to get rid of the body, but did not come up with a story that they would all stick to. And that's my question is, why didn't they, if they were going to be better at this, why didn't they come up with a story that they could all agree with, so that they wouldn't have a problem when they were interrogated? And
Rachel, we have someone else on the line.
Awesome. Thanks for calling YNR. This is Rachel, or Restless Rap, not YNR. Who's on the line?
This is Max.
Hi, Max. How are you?
I'm fine.
So I was just finishing up the storyline with, everything with JT. Why don't we move on to everything happening with Hillary and Devon? And what are your thoughts on, well, first of all, we left this week, not to kind of segue like that, but we kind of started this week off with Hillary deciding she was going to go and get the artificial insemination again. What do you think about all that? Do you think it's going to actually work, even if Devon leaves and lets her do it?
This year really making me roll my eyes, because this is like the billionth time they've done the storyline. I'm pregnant, but I'm not pregnant, but I'm going to hide it. And then, like, 6 months later, when I'm not pregnant, I'm gonna fake it, and then I'm going to get in trouble, and then everyone's going to hate. It's like the same thing over and over again.
I think the thing with me is that she could have... I knew she was up to something. I don't know why she thinks she can get away with this, because wouldn't they... I don't know if they would just... I don't know if they'd call Devon, but you would think they might... or they might get him involved, and she just thought, okay, I'm going to go and take care of this. And, of course, Devon shows up. It just seemed very convenient.
She's like best friends with Phyllis, too, and Phyllis is, like, the worst. I'm making, like, plans.
Yeah, and the whole thing, the whole thing, too, is I think that Hillary, as a character, there's certain things that she does that I want to like her sometimes, but then things like this kind of piss me off. What did you think? It kind of came at like a very interesting moment when on the Hillary Hour, Hillary was talking to Mariah and they were talking about telling lies right as we kind of see Phyllis and Nikki and Victoria and Sharon all kind of listening to this on the TV.
She does that a lot.
Yeah.
You notice that? Hillary does that a lot on her show. She's like talking about secrets and lies and how secrets and lies can destroy your life. And it's like a montage of everyone watching her show as she's talking about secrets. Like, they've done this 3 or 4 times.
Oh, my God.
And it's always meant to, like, compel someone to tell the truth about something. I don't know. I think that's just, like, I don't know. I think Hillary was talking about, obviously, her lying about being pregnant. Well, she wasn't lying, you know what I mean. But it's also meant to connect with the thing that's going on with JT and whatnot. Because I think, personally, Sharon is going to break and tell Nick, and blah, 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 blah. But,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's going to either be... I don't think Nikki will tell anyone. I thought that Victoria really was going to turn herself in, though.
She was.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing with Phyllis. I don't even know. I mean, I get where she's coming from, but Phyllis, I did not expect. I mean, I guess I should have expected it. It's Phyllis, but she's just really like overstepping in so many ways.
I can't really. Like, if I was Victoria, I wouldn't take anything Phyllis says as sincere, because Phyllis isn't coming to a place of, oh, I want to protect you. Phyllis is coming to a place of, I'm saving my own skin, I don't want to go to jail. Like, she doesn't care about anybody. She doesn't care about Nikki or, like, Victoria or whatever. She just cares about not going to jail.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, this is kind of all Phyllis's fault anyway, because she's the one who pushed them not calling the cops. And now they are kind of in this jam where if they go to the cops now, yeah, they're in huge trouble. But I really liked what Victoria was doing, where she was going to go turn herself in. And hopefully, so I don't know how that would work. I know, like, that was kind of interesting, the montage that we saw where Victoria was basically showing us what she would say to Paul, which I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I felt about that. It was kind of interesting, but I feel like Phyllis did have a point that it would probably come back to all of them, but I feel like, just the whole, I don't know, sending Victoria to a resort or going with Victoria to a resort for, I don't know, a week or whatever they said. I don't know how that's really going to help anything, if you know what
it... It's just going to convince Victoria to kind of shut up about it. And, like, before, like, you know, it kind of went out, like, I want to say what I think is going to happen with Hillary thing. I think Hillary just needs to, you know, tell LeBron, like, now. Just, you know, be like, hey, I thought I was pregnant. I just went to my doctor. She said I wasn't. And, you know... I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. And then LeBron can't be mad.
Yeah.
Because he can't be mad if he's sick and he can tell the truth. Because that's what really happened. She was pregnant, and then she was found that she wasn't. A lot of women make that happen. Like, that's a normal thing. I don't think, no one could be mad at her for that. I think a lot of people would actually be so sorry for her. So I don't know why she's going with this narrative, trying, because she knows it's going to implode on her.
Yeah.
She literally was the one who covered the story when Sharon literally, like, was hiding the fact that she wasn't pregnant. When that story broke, Hillary was the first one on the scene. She saw, like, what that did to her reputation. So I don't know why she's doing the same thing to herself.
Yeah, and it's a couple weeks, I think it was last week, well, not this week, but the week before, Hillary was even saying she's her own worst enemy, and that, as Hillary is doing this, I feel like Devon, I don't know what right he has to stop her. If she does end up telling him the truth, which I don't think she will, I think that Devon will basically force him way into this. If she doesn't tell him, he'll force his way into the room with her. If he can do that, maybe he can't. So maybe he'll just leave. But and he'll find out that way. And then I don't know if he can actually get her to stop, because he already agreed to do it. There's a contract. The contract doesn't say, we have to stop if you... after a certain amount of time. At least I'm assuming the contract doesn't say that. So legally, Hillary's allowed to do what she wants. I know that they had a verbal agreement, that Devon said, well, if you're not pregnant already, I don't want to do it. But you can't, it's like he's going against the contract, because I'm sure the contract did not say that. So she can probably keep doing what she's doing, and that's going to, I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like the best way for Hillary to win, if Hillary really wants to win, I think the only way Hillary can really win against, like, if she really wants to, you know, beat Lily or whatever, or beat Devon or whatever, just leave them alone and be the best her. Literally, if you want to, like, prove to the winter that you're better than everyone else, just do that, because that's literally going to drive them crazy, that you're not in any dirt and that you're doing great and you're successful. Like, I don't know why she has to do all these, like, lies and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. She should just tell the truth, follow her own mantra, but we know Hillary, and she probably won't, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
For calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Have a great week.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so let's check in with the chat here. We have Miss Bubbles. Phyllis covered up running down Paul and Cricket and possibly killing her friend Sasha in a fire. So Phyllis knows how to keep a secret. So, okay, we know that Phyllis knows how to do this, but the question is she overstepping her boundaries or not? So if you have opinions in the chat, we have a couple other comments here. Clexanvers, all the Nick and Victor scenes since the attack have melted my heart. Yeah, at least they're kind of getting along. Aaron Brody, I was thinking about that storyline too, Mrs. Bubbles. I think from, the Paul and Cricket storyline with Phyllis. Hubby Joe, I hope Victor turns against Kyle. And Aaron says, Victor will turn on Kyle. Sarah B. Videos, Kyle is annoying. Clexanvers, kill him with fire. Okay, so let's get back and touch on a couple other storylines here. So, okay, we have everything happening with Kyle in general, and Victor and Kyle. Earlier on, so we kind of pick up with Kyle, Billy, and Jack, and they're having this meeting. And Jack keeps going to Billy as the COO to get his input on things. And obviously Jack and Kyle, they're just not seeing eye to eye on this question about social media accounts. And Jack is just kind of like, are you sure you're going to be loyal to Jabot? What's going on with you? And instead of really talking to him, Kyle is obviously up to no good. We can see that. He's trying to scheme with Victor. He's trying to go to Newman, basically. But instead, first, Kyle asks Billy to get coffee. And in this conversation, Kyle is really pushing the idea of getting this clause taken care of so that when it comes out about Dina and Jack not being an actual abbot, Kyle wants to make sure he still has that seat to the throne, so to speak. And it's just interesting the way he was playing it off with Billy. First of all, Billy obviously doesn't trust Kyle, and I felt like his lines here in the scene were pretty strong. He basically is – Kyle tries to play the victim card, how he was passed from parent to parent, and Billy says he kind of understands because he hasn't really been an abbot either, but that he just finds it really hard to trust Kyle after everything that happened, especially Kyle going and dealing with a Victor. But Kyle tries to play it off like he wants to kill this clause because he feels bad for everyone in the family and he's some upstanding son, an upstanding family member. Even says something like, So Kyle tries to get this clause removed, or tries to talk to Billy about getting the clause removed. When they go and speak to Jack, Jack is like, no, I'm not doing it. It's going to stay in place. So obviously Kyle does not like that. Meanwhile, after all of that, we have Victor and Kyle. And Victor, they're arguing because basically Kyle feels like he's ready to come back to go to Newman and basically have this kind of just work for Victor and finally go through with their plans. Victor, one of the most interesting comments of the week for me was sometimes, he said this to Kyle, sometimes you remind me of your father. And this is when Kyle goes, I have a weapon powerful enough to take down my dad for good. All I have to do is hand it to you. So I am really curious what they're going to do with that storyline and what's going to end up coming out. Is it going to be similar to what happened with Ashley? Is Jack going to lose his spot in Jabot? And what they're going to, I think I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. I feel like the fact that Jack is not an abbot seems too convenient. And I get the whole Ashley storyline that it seems to make sense that Ashley turned out to not be an abbot, but the fact that Jack is also in this situation too doesn't make sense to me. I'm still curious who the man is, what happened to him, what his name is, and I almost feel like it's just convenient and this DNA test is going to turn out to not to kind of be like a false positive that he's not an abbot. So we'll see what happens with that. Maxwell Comics, Kyle is trying to take down his dad in bold daylight and he's trying to destroy the family and is acting shocked that nobody trusts him. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand this kid. And sorry, I called him a kid, but he's acting like a kid. Miss Bubbles, at least Kyle is mentioned from time to time. And who remember Jack's oldest son, Chemo, who hasn't been mentioned in 20 years. Wow. Interesting. Aaron, Kyle acts so entitled. And then we have Clexanvers, hashtag bring back Tessa, hashtag kill Kyle with fire, hashtag hit Hillary with a bus. So that's another thing. Where's Tessa been? They just kind of stopped bringing her in. I kind of feel like that storyline needs to come back too because we didn't really get it resolved. Aaron Brody, right? They just left Chemo in Japan 30 years ago. Where's he at? Interesting. So, we'll talk about that a little bit later because I haven't been watching long enough to know about Chemo, but at least we got one son back. So let's see. We talked about Hillary and Devon. Let's just touch on Nikki with Victoria a little bit. Nikki and Victor, they had a moment where finally what they agreed to was that basically if Nikki was going to stop seeing Arturo, basically she kind of made a deal with Victor, something along the lines of, all right, well, I'll stop seeing Arturo if you keep him on as a staff member, but then Helen Wallace has to go. And Victor was basically like, okay, well, she's already gone. And that to me says a lot about the relationship. I know everyone told me that Nikki and Victor were just that couple that always stayed together and always got back together. I didn't want to believe it. Now that I've seen this and seen the way that Nikki even said, well, Victor, you're the man that I will always love, and I'm the woman you're always going to love. Seeing that, now I understand. Now I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't like the relationship because to me it's horrible. But that being said, I kind of get it now that Nikki and Victor aren't going to just break up. And unfortunately, the whole storyline with Jack and Nikki just probably won't happen, even though that is what I was always wanting. And then they broke them up. So, on that note, it kind of felt resolved, kind of not really. It still feels weird, everything happening with Victor and Nikki and Helen Wallace, which was kind of random. I don't know if they're going to bring that back or what's going to happen with Nikki and Victor, period. Let's go ahead, and there's one more thing that we should talk about before we get to the law moment. And that's everything, I just want to mention everything with Maddie. We got a couple of little scenes with her talking to Lily and Kane, basically just talking about how that relationship with Reed affected her. And to me, that was very relatable because she sounded like she blamed it. Just to me, when a young person is saying that they blame themselves for a relationship, it's hard to watch. It's relatable because when you're that age, you go through all kinds of moments when you're just trying to discover yourself. And here we have Maddie. That was her first relationship with Reed. And she basically was telling her parents that she felt like she just didn't have, like, she felt like she lost her friend and she could have been better and could have done things differently. And it was hard to watch, but at the same time, I was glad that she had Lily and Kane to speak with because they were able to basically guide her and tell her it's okay. It doesn't just because you've gone through that, just because you think you've messed up doesn't mean that you actually have. And that basically they made her feel like she made the best choices that she could make in the moment. So I just wanted to talk about that really fast and say that was a pretty powerful couple of scenes, even though it was a very small storyline. I'm glad that they showed us how this was affecting Maddie because she just lost a friend. Reed's obviously very affected by JT, by everything happening at home, by the changing family situation. But on top of that, Maddie's affected too because this was a first relationship for her and a friendship and a guy that she's not going to be able to talk to because he's going to be away in boarding school. So, on that note, let's get to our law moment. I had one, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but it was Nikki when she was talking to all four of them, to Phyllis, Victoria, Sharon, and not only did she call Nikki the weak link, not only did Nikki call Sharon the weak link, but she made that comment saying her future depended on her two former daughter-in-laws, and I just started cracking up. So that makes it for the lol moment of the night, or of the week, for Restless Rap. Let's just see if we have any other comments. Simone says, Tessa Mariah is just unfinished, and there's no boring Noah to get in the way now. Come on, Mal, write for them. Aaron Brody, I'm so glad Nikki called off that stupid open marriage clause. Yeah, it was just kind of weird. Clicksanvers, what the mind doesn't remember, the heart never forgets. Quote of the week. Oh, yeah, that is very inspiring. I love that quote. Neil said it this week. And, okay, so I was thinking, wow, did they write that on YNR? So I looked up the quote. They didn't write it for YNR. It's, first of all, it's a big quote in the Alzheimer's community, it seems like, when I looked it up. And two, yeah, it's been around a long time. So, yeah, but I loved that quote too. Neil was talking to, Charlie, while he was basically right in the middle of while Charlie was trying to edit the footage, for Dina's interviews. And yeah, it was just I felt like that relationship between Neil and Charlie is pretty powerful. And I don't know if they were trying to foreshadow anything, but I guess they were just trying to say that you never know how long someone has. And even though they weren't, the conversation wasn't this deep, but basically just the fact that Neil was there for Charlie and they were able to kind of bond a little bit. Neil is obviously not that old at all, but you never know. And just the fact that he could impart that wisdom on his grandson was very meaningful. And I also like the fact that Phyllis called out Devon for still being in love with Hillary. That was a really good moment too. Clex Ambers, hashtag hit Hillary with the bus. Yeah, we're still doing that. That hashtag. Hubby Joe, hashtag bring back Tessa. Hashtag kill Kyle with a fire. Hashtag hit Hillary with a bus. Maxwell Comics, Nikki Bricks Holmes, she killed Kyle's mom. And Reed's dad, shaking my head. Miss Bubbles, yeah, Nikki killed her daddy. And Diane Jenkins, this is another walk in the park for her. Aaron Brody, Nikki got bodies. All right, well, on that note, I think that about wraps up the show for this week. My name's Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. Also, if you go over to Facebook and go to at Restless Rap, if you go over and like and subscribe, you can always find the link to our show there. And if you post any comments or questions, I'll read them live on the air on that following show. So thank you, everyone. Have a good week. And tune in next week for Restless Rap. We'll be back.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.